We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 79, verses 1 to 34, the whole chapter. Lord Balaram goes on pilgrimage. Verse 1. Shishikavacha tata parvanya pavitte prachanda pang shivashana bhima vayur abhut rajan puya gandhastu sarvashaha. Shukade Goswami said, "Then, on the new moon day, O king, a fierce and frightening wind arose, scattering dust all about and spreading the smell of pus everywhere, announcing the arrival of a demon. Mukam karoti vachalam vangam langhayate yakipam tumaham mande shi guru tukchanam om gyana timiranda se gananjara sharakaya chakshumiri tamyena tasamai shi gurave maham. So what do you remember from last class of Dantavakra and Ramaharshana? Yes. Krishna came back to Vrindavan many times.
He went to many places from there.
Okay.
There were many Krishnas.
He was always expanding himself. Yes. Apricot and Gokula, Mandwaraka, Goloka. Yes. He can be many places at once and do many things at once. That is our Krishna. Yes. So he didn't mention about Krishna going back to Vrindavan. Right. The others killed each other. He wound up the brudge in the past times.
And then returned to Dwarka.
Right. Okay? Yes?
Balaram says that theatrical performance.
Theatrical performance. If you know the Shastra but you don't have the qualities, it's like a theatrical performance. Okay?
Also compared to a serpent.
Compared to a serpent.
With a jewel.
With a jewel on his head. Very dangerous. This knowledge, yes. Okay. So now the arrival of a demon is coming here, and you can tell by his smell. Of course, it's not just his smell. He's throwing probably these things, pus. Throwing pus. Next unto the sacrificial arena came a downpour of abominable things sent by Bhavala, after which the demon himself appeared, trident in hand. The immense demon resembled a mass of black carbon. His top knot and beard were like molten copper, and his face had horrible fangs and furrowed eyebrows. So fangs, fangs of a demon. Upon seeing him, Lord Balaram thought of his club, which tears to pieces his enemy's armies, and his plow weapon, which punishes the demons. Thus summoned, the two weapons appeared before him at once. With the tip of his plow, Lord Balaram caught hold of the demon Bhavala as he flew through the sky. So that means the plow must have been huge to catch the demon in the sky, and he was holding it on the earth. With his club, the Lord angrily struck that harasser of the Brahmins on the head. Bhavala cried out in agony and fell to the ground, his forehead cracked open and gushing blood. He resembled a red mountain struck by a lightning bolt. According to the Acharyas, a demon appeared reddish with blood like a mountain red with oxide. The exalted sages honored Lord Ram with sincere prayers and awarded him infallible blessings. Then they performed his ritual bath, just as the demigods had formerly bathed Indra when he killed Vritra. They gave Lord Balaram a Vaijayanti garland of unfading lotuses, in which resided the goddess of fortune, and they also gave him a set of divine garments and jewelry. Then, given leave by the sages, the Lord went with a contingent of Brahmins to the Kaushiki River, where he bathed. From there he went to the lake from which flows the river Sarayu. The Lord followed the course of the Sarayu until he came to Prayag, where he bathed and then performed rituals to propitiate the demigods and other living beings. Next he went to the ashram of Pulaha Rishi. Purport, Pulaha Ashram is also known as Hari Kshetra. Lord Balaram bathed in Gomati, Gandaki, and Vipasha rivers and also immersed himself in the Shona. He went to Gaya, where he worshipped his forefathers, and to the mouth of the Ganga, as Ganga Sagar, where he performed purifying ablutions. So that Ganga Sagar festival is happening in this month sometime. No, Ganga Sagar. Ganga Sagar is where the Ganga meets the ocean. Oh. Yeah, I know I got an invitation, but I guess I can't go. It's in Bangladesh? Maybe, I think. Ganga Sagar. No? It's in India? Yeah? Okay. It's in India. Orissa or Bengal? Bengal. Not sure. Yeah, where Ganga goes to the ocean. Where Kapila Ashram is. Yeah. Okay, he's in Bengal. Yeah, I don't know geography. At Mount Mahendra, he saw Lord Parashuram and offered him prayers. And then he bathed in the seven branches of the Godavari River, all seven, and also in the rivers Vena, Pampa, and Bhimarati. So for a whole year, he's just having his bath in all these different rivers. Then Lord Balaram met Lord Skanda and visited Sri Shaila, abode of Lord Girisha. In the southern provinces known as Javadadesh, Supreme Lord saw the sacred Venkata Hill. That is still, all these places are still there. Venkateshwar, as well as the cities of Kamakoshi and Kanchi, the exalted Kaveri River, most holy Sri Ranga, where Lord Krishna has manifested himself. From there he went to Rishabha Mountain, where Lord Krishna also lives, and to the southern Mathura. Then he came to Setu Bandha, where the most grievous sins are destroyed. Purport. Usually one goes to Gaya to worship deceased for fathers, but as Sri Lavishwana Chakravarti explains, although Lord Balaram's father and grandfather were still alive, it was on his father's order he carefully worshipped his forefathers at Gaya. Drawing insight from the Vaishnava Toshini, the Acharya further explains, although Lord Balaram was in the immediate proximity of Jagannath Puri, he did not go there, since he wanted to avoid the embarrassment of having to worship himself along with the forms of Krishna, Balabhadra, and Subhadra. So he didn't go to Puri, because he'd have to worship himself. There at Setu Bandha, Rameshwaram, Lord Haliyuta gave Brahmanas 10,000 cows in charity. He then visited the Kritamala and Tamraparni rivers and the great Malaya mountains. In the Malaya range, Lord Balaram found Agastya Rishi sitting in meditation. After bowing down to the sage, the Lord offered him prayers and received blessings from him. Taking leave from Agastya, he proceeded to the shore of the southern ocean, where he saw Goddess Durga in her form of Kanya Kumari. So he's going east, west, south. Now in Krishna book, Prabhupada talks about Balaram's charity. After visiting Rangakshetra, Lord Balaram gradually proceeded toward Madurai, commonly known as the Mathura of southern India. After visiting this place, he gradually proceeded toward Setu Bandha, the place where Lord Ramchandra constructed the stone bridge from India to Lanka, Ceylon. In this particular holy place, Lord Balaram distributed 10,000 cows to the local Brahmana priests. It is a Vedic custom. When a rich visitor goes to any place of pilgrimage, he gives the local priests houses, cows, ornaments, and garments as gifts of charity. The system of visiting places of pilgrimage and providing the local Brahmana priests with all necessities of life has greatly deteriorated in this age of Kali. The richer section of population, because of its degradation in Vedic culture, is no longer attracted by these places of pilgrimage, and the Brahmana priests, who depend depended on such visitors have also deteriorated in their professional duty of helping the visitors. These Brahmana priests in the places of pilgrimage are called panda or pandit. So we have experience of panda. I'm reading from Krishna book. It won't be there. Verse 16, 17. So we have many pandas in Vrindavan, and we can see how it has deteriorated, that they are interested in collecting money, and they provide their services, but the money is the very important part of, very important thing. This means they were formerly very learned brahmanas and used to guide the visitors in all details of the purpose of coming there. Thus, both the visitors and priests benefited by mutual cooperation. So did anybody have experience with a panda here? And what was their, what was the purpose you got from them of coming to the holy place?
Worship the panda.
Worship the panda.
They disturb the meditation of the visitors.
Okay. So it has deteriorated. So the purpose, what is the purpose of coming to the holy place?
To hear about the
purpose of life also.
Associate with
devotees. And become purified and get inspiration to continue in your journey back to Godhead. But now it's not like that. In fact, sometimes we have to protect people from the pandas. Yeah. It is clear from the description of Srimad Bhagavatam that when Lord Balaram was visiting the different places of pilgrimage, he properly followed the Vedic system. It must have been so wonderful in those days that you go and you perform the rituals and you find out actually what is the goal of life and what is the purpose of visiting the Vrindavan, Mayapur. Next he went to Falgun Tirtha and bathed in the sacred Panchapsara lake where Lord Vishnu had directly manifested himself. At this place he gave away another 10,000 cows. He must have kept a lot of cows with him while he was traveling as he was giving away. The Supreme Lord then traveled through the kingdoms of Kerala and Trigarta, visiting Lord Shiva's sacred city of Gokarna, where Lord Nirjati Shiva directly manifests himself. After also visiting Goddess Parvati, who dwells on an island, Lord Balaram went to the holy district of Shurparaka and bathed in the Tapi, Payoshni, and Nirvindya rivers. He next entered the Dandaka forest and went to the river Reva, along which the city of Mahishmati is found. Interesting. Mahishmati, whose city was that? One of those really long ago kings. Mahishmati, was that Swayambhuva Manu? He was in Brahmavarta. So Mahishmati, that was at Pachana Bahishat? Anyway, look up Mahishmati and see whose city it was.
Muchikunda's.
In time of Krishna. Okay. Mahishmati. The Lord heard from some brahmanas how all the kings involved in the battle between the Kurus and Pandavas had been killed. So now we're at the end of the battle of Kurukshetra. From this he concluded that the earth was now relieved of her burden. So their mission is completed now. Krishna and Balaram. Krishna book. When Lord Balaram returned to Prabhas Tirtha, he heard from the Brahmanas that most of the Kshatriyas in the battle of Kurukshetra had been killed. Balaram felt relieved to hear the burden of the world had been reduced. Lord Krishna and Balaram appeared on this earth to lessen the burden of military strength created by ambitious Kshatriya kings. This is the way of materialistic life. Not being satisfied by the absolute necessities of life, people ambitiously create extra demands, and their illegal desires are checked by the laws of nature or the laws of God, appearing as famine, war, pestilence, and similar catastrophes. What are these extra demands that people are ambitiously creating nowadays?
Electricity.
Yeah.
Bigger cars.
More cars.
Extra
petrol.
Petrol. Everything. So much petrol. Yeah.
Fancy eating.
Fancy eating. Yeah, they used to just eat the
feast festivals, they would be
simple, simply.
Now
everything is imported. Even Vrindavan. Continental.
But in Vrindavan you can get now from America all fruits and vegetables. All
yeah.
These,
you can get everything here. Yes.
Genetic foods.
This is Vrindavan. Covered Vrindavan. Wanting to stop the club fight then raging between Bhima and Duryodhana on the battlefield, Lord Balaram went to Kurukshetra. When Yudhisthira, Lord Krishna, Arjuna, and the twin brothers Nakula and Sahadev saw Lord Balaram, they offered him respectful obeisances but said nothing, thinking, what has he come here to tell us? Purport. Srila Prabhupada writes, the reason they were silent was that Lord Balaram was somewhat affectionate toward Duryodhana, who had learned from Balaramji the art of fighting with a club. So all the Pandavas were quiet when Balaram came. Thus, when the fighting was going on, King Yudhisthira and the others thought Balaram might have come there to say something in favor of Duryodhana. Therefore, they remained silent. So they were a bit afraid, even though they knew Balaram was their friend. Lord Balaram found Duryodhana and Bhima with clubs in their hands, each furiously striving for victory over the other as they circled about skillfully. The Lord addressed them as follows. Lord Balaram said, King Duryodhana and Bhima, listen, you two warriors are equal in fighting prowess. I know that one of you has greater physical power, while the other is better trained in technique. Purport. Bhima was physically more powerful, but Duryodhana was more advanced in terms of technique. Since you are so evenly matched in fighting prowess, I do not see how either of you can win or lose this duel. Therefore, please stop this useless battle. And what are they going to say to this? Shukadev Goswami continued, they did not accept Lord Balaram's request, O King, although it was logical, for their mutual enmity was irrevocable. So logic cannot come now when people are angry and they have long grudges, for their lifelong grudges, and they both want vengeance. Each of them constantly remembered the insults and injuries he had suffered from the other. So Balaram was trying to give a forgiveness seminar here in the battlefield, but it was not going to happen because they're both not going to forget what happened to them. Concluding that the battle was the arrangement of fate, Lord Balaram went back to Dwaraka. There he was greeted by Ugrasena and his other relatives, who were all delighted to see him. So he had been away for at least a year on pilgrimage. Purport, Shivishna Chakravarti explains the word dishtam, fate, indicates the battle between Bhima and Duryodhana had been enjoined by Lord Krishna and set into motion by him. So, Krishna Bhakti Prabhupada says, Lord Balaram, being able to understand the destiny awaiting them, was not eager to go further in the matter. Therefore, instead of staying, he decided to return to the city of Dwaraka. So, I have some quotes here. One is from Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 11th chapter, verses 16 to 17, purport. And it's talking about Balaram. During the Kurukshetra battle, he remained neutral and he tried his best not to bring about the fight. He was in favor of Duryodhana, but still he remained neutral. So that's important. He was definitely on Duryodhana's side, but he did stay neutral. When there was a club fight, Between Duryodhana and Bhima, he was present on the spot. He was angry at Bhima when the latter struck Duryodhana on the thigh or below the belt, and he wanted to retaliate the unfair action. Lord Krishna saved Bhima from his wrath, but he left the place at once, being disgusted at Bhimasen, and after his departure, Duryodhana fell to the ground to meet his death. So we'll hear about that in a few minutes. I have a quote here from Mahabharata. So we'll hear about the scene, what happened. So it appears that Balaram did see that how Bhima was unfairly fighting. Now, Prabhupada talks about this in one lecture on the Bhagavatam verse, first canto, 7th chapter, 13 and 14. It mentions how Duryodhana fell down, that he was laying with his back broken. So Prabhupada said they were both expert in fighting. Balaram was neutral. Krishna was neutral, but he was taking the side of Arjuna. But he was not fighting. And Balaram also did not fight, and he went traveling all over. And he had some sympathy with Duryodhana, because Duryodhana was his disciple. So when Balaram arrived, they all stopped fighting, just to show respect to Balaram. And the Pandavas were silent, because they knew Balaram was sympathetic with Duryodhana, and if he takes the side of Duryodhana, everything will be spoiled. But he didn't do. He just gave his advice. My dear Duryodhana, I know you're a great fighter. You've got strength. You've learned the art of fighting, but you're not as strong as Bhima. Then he said, my dear Bhima, you've got the strength of 10,000 elephants. You're superior, stronger. But he knows the art better than you. You're stronger, so there will be no decision. The fighting will go on. Can't you stop? Because there won't be a decision. Unless one is dead, the fighting will go on. So what's the use? Nobody will be victorious. Better stop. But they were silent because they had so many grudges against each other. And now was the time when they could finally kill each other, as they've been wanting to do their whole lives, this kill. And so they didn't listen to Baladev, and Duryodhana, Srila Prabhupada explains, his whole body became like iron, except in one place, that was below the belt. And so then Prabhupada told the story how Gandhari told her son Duryodhana that tomorrow you come to me naked. You come and I will look at you. She always had her blindfold on. So Prabhupada said that she had so much power because of that austerity. He said a chaste woman or anyone who follows the regulative principles, he gets great spiritual power, great power. A brahmacharya gets power if he follows brahmacharya. And he said, everyone, if you just follow the rules and regulations, you become very powerful. You get great power. So she had so much power because of her austerity. So she said, okay, tomorrow you come, offer your obeisances, you come naked. I'll see you, and you'll become just like iron. So he was going to his mother the next day, and Krishna saw him. Where are you going like that? So I'm going to see my mother. How can you go like that? You have to wear a gumsha at least. Just cover yourself. So for once, Duryodhana listened to Krishna. Once in his life. He listened to Krishna and put a gumsha on. And he went to see his mother, and she took off her blindfold, looked at him, and she said, oh, why didn't you listen to me? I told you to come naked. And then Duryodhana said, but Krishna told me not to. And then she smiled and she understood, okay, Krishna wins. And every part that she saw turned into iron. And the other parts that were covered was not iron. So there he was, susceptible, he was vulnerable. And it was against the rules to strike below the waist. But Krishna said, unless you break this law, you will not win. You have to hit him. And so he was not killed, but his waist was broken. Of course, he did die, actually, from that. So in Mahabharata, slow death. After Bhima hit him, he put his foot on Duryodhana's head. And all the Pandava warriors were actually saying, shame, shame, don't do that. And Balaram was very angry when he saw Bhima do that. And he said, "Fie on Bhima, how has he struck such a blow in a fair fight? No stroke should ever be aimed beneath the belt. This is the ancient rule, but this wretch has broken it. Such an act cannot go unpunished." So he took his plow weapon and he ran to Bhima, appearing like Mount Kailash, rushing toward the Himavat. Krishna quickly pursued him and caught hold of him. Encircling his elder brother with his powerful arms, Krishna stopped him before he could reach Bhima. The two Yadu heroes shone beautifully and looked like the sun and moon conjoined in the evening skies. Balaram struggled against his brother's grasp. Krishna said, "Oh hero, you should not act in this way. Bhima has served even our interests. The Pandavas are our friends. Indeed, they are the children of our father's sister. Duryodhan was their sworn enemy and thus our enemy as well. His death was to be sought by us by any means. Furthermore, it was Bhima's solemn vow he would break Duryodhan's thighs and slay him. The keeping of vows is always a sacred duty, and Bhima's vow was confirmed by the words of the infallible Rishi Maitreya. For all this, O slayer of Pralamba, I do not see any fault in Bhima. Give up your anger and be peaceful, O foremost of men." Balaram laughed dryly. Krishna was always expert in providing arguments, but he was not convinced. Still held by Krishna, he replied, "In my view, Bhima has sacrificed religion for the sake of material gain. This can never lead to success and happiness. So dharma for kama, or artha, artha." "Surely you are famous for your devotion to righteousness," Krishna answered, "but there is no unrighteousness in Bhima. He has carried out his promise and requited the debt he owed his enemy. Know, O powerful brother, the terrible age of Kali is at hand, marked by fierce acts and the loss of religion." Balaram slackened, and Krishna released his grip on him. Still angry, he said in a resounding voice, "For this dishonest act, Bhima will henceforward be known as a cunning warrior. The righteous Duryodhan, on the other hand, will be known as a fair fighter." So Bhima will be infamous and Duryodhan will be famous. "The Kaurava king has performed sacrifice and given much charity to the Brahmins. Having at last offered his life as a libation into the fire of his foes, he will attain the regions of lasting happiness." With that, Balaram strode away from Krishna and mounted his chariot. His charioteer urged on his horses and he sped away like a white cloud speeding through the heavens. So this is from Mahabharata. And Prabhupada did mention that in that purport in first canto, that Krishna had to save Bhima from Balaram's anger. So this is how it happened. Balaram did not approve of Bhima's act. But actually, if you think about it, all of them were killed unfairly. Karna was killed unfairly. And everybody, and Bhishma, and everybody, there was always some trick had to be involved. Jarasandha. And the other side too, right. The other side, they killed Abhimanyu. And Jacinda was killed unfairly. And so on both sides, there were not following. So verse 30, "Later, Lord Balaram returned to Naimsharanya, where the sages joyfully engaged him, the embodiment of all sacrifice, in performing various kinds of Vedic sacrifice. Lord Balaram was now retired from warfare." So the last demons have been killed, and now they will not fight anymore. Srila Prabhupada writes, purport, "When Lord Balaram went to the holy place of pilgrimage at Naimsharanya, the sages, saintly persons, and brahmanas all stood up to receive him. They understood that Lord Balaram, although a kshatriya, was now retired from the fighting business. The brahmanas and sages, who were always for peace and tranquility, were very pleased at this. All of them embraced Balaram with great affection and induced him to perform various kinds of sacrifices and that sacred spot of Naimsharanya. Actually, Lord Balaram had no business performing the sacrifices recommended for ordinary human beings. He is the supreme personality of Godhead. Therefore, he himself is the enjoyer of all such sacrifices." So here he is. He's doing the sacrifice, and he's enjoying it too. He's getting the fruits. It's to him. "As such, his exemplary action in performing sacrifices was only to give a lesson to the common man, to show how one should abide by the injunctions of the Vedas. The all-powerful Lord Balaram bestowed upon the sages pure spiritual knowledge, by which they could see the whole universe within him, and also see him pervading everything. So they got a spiritual vision. They were exchanging blessings here. The sages were blessing Balaram, and Balaram was blessing them. The all-powerful, okay. After executing with his wife the Avabhrita ablutions, the beautifully dressed and ornamented Lord Balaram, encircled by his immediate family and other relatives and friends, looked as splendid as the moon surrounded by its effulgent rays. Purport. Srila Prabhupada beautifully describes the scene as follows. Lord Balaram then took the Avabhrita bath, which is taken after finishing sacrificial performances. After taking his bath, he dressed himself in new silken garments and decorated himself with beautiful jewelry. Amidst his relatives and friends, he appeared to be a shining full moon amidst the luminaries in the sky. Countless other pastimes were performed by Mahdi Balaram, the unlimited and immeasurable Supreme Lord, whose mystic yoga maya power makes him appear to be a human being. But this is the end of his pastimes in Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna will visit Sudama, and then there will be other pastimes with Krishna. So now we are hearing about Balaram. All the activities of the unlimited Lord Balaram are amazing. Anyone who regularly remembers them at dawn and dusk will become very dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Vishnu. Srila Prabhupada writes, Lord Balaram is the original Vishnu. Therefore, anyone remembering these pastimes of Lord Balaram in the morning and evening will certainly become a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus his life will become successful in all respects. Okay. So I have a few quotes from Nectar of Devotion about Kurukshetra. Krishna, this is 26th chapter. Krishna is sometimes called Vanamali. Vana means forest and Mali means gardener. So Vanamali refers to one who extensively uses flowers and garlands on different parts of his body. Krishna was dressed like this not only in Vrindavan, but also on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So he had all his flower ornaments at Kurukshetra too. Seeing such colorful dress and garlands of different flowers, some great sages prayed, Lord Krishna is going to the battlefield of Kurukshetra not to fight, but to grace all the devotees with his presence. Okay. The following is a statement which describes different mellows of devotional service from 50th chapter. Although Krishna was invincible to any enemy, the cowherd boys of Vrindavan became almost blackish with astonishment upon seeing his wonderful royal garments and fighting feats on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Now, this is an interesting statement. I wonder what the cowherd boys were doing there at the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Nectar Devotion says, in this statement, there is a mixture of chivalrous activities and dread in devotional service, but there is no perverted reflection of mellows. So now in Nectar of Devotion, chapter 40, fraternal love expressed outside the jurisdiction of Vrindavan. When the sons of Pandu, so here again, battlefield of Kurukshetra. When the sons of Pandu, headed by Maharaj Yudhisthira, saw Krishna in his four-handed form on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, holding conchal, disc, club, and lotus flower, they completely forgot themselves and became merged in the ocean of nectarian happiness. So he showed his four-armed form. Of course, that was when he was speaking Bhagavad Gita. He showed his four-armed form. We know that. Because first he showed the universal form, and then after that he went back to the forehand and then the two-handed form. This shows how, when the Pandavas saw this forearm form, they were merged in happiness. This shows how the sons of Pandu, Yudhisthira, Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula, and Sahadeva were all caught up in fraternal love for Krishna. So there's a quality of Krishna from Nectar of Devotion, quality number 44. Krishna was popular. Any person who is very dear to people in general is called a popular man. So this is about Dwarka coming back. As for Krishna's popularity, there's a statement in 1st Canto 11, verse 9, deals with his returning home from the capital of Hastinapur. So Krishna went back to Dwarka. While he had been absent from Dwarka at the Battle of Kurukshetra, so this was again Battle of Kurukshetra, all the citizens of Dwarka had become morose. Then when he returned, the citizens joyfully received him and said, "Dear Lord, while you are absent from the city, we passed our days in the darkness of night. As in the darkness of night, every moment appears to be a long duration of time, especially when the lights go out. So while you were gone, every moment appeared to us like millions of years. Your separation is completely unbearable to us." This statement shows how popular Krishna was all over the country. So after he returned from the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Okay. So that's more about coming back. So I'll read one thing from Krishna Sangati about the Pandavas meeting Krishna at Kamyavan. When the Pandavas were in exile, they didn't meet Krishna actually, they met the Brijbasis. Sorry. Pandavas met the Brijbasis. They were in exile, they lived in Kamyavan part of the time. So Yudhisthira Maharaj was one of the devotees to visit Vrindavan. So they visited Vrindavan, the Pandavas. Imagine, this was when Krishna was in Dwarka. While in exile, the Pandavas met with Krishna's kinfolk, saw the many places of Krishna's pastimes, and shared the Brijbasis' pain of separation. When the tearful Brijbasis heard Arjuna speak about his dearmost friend, they forgot their sorrow and felt as they had when Uddhava had visited Braj. And like Uddhava, Yudhisthira Maharaj and his brothers saw the ecstatic love of the Brijbasis and recognized such love to be the highest attainment of human endeavor. Although King Yudhisthira knew it was Krishna's will that he again rule the earth, he also realized that no kingdom could equal the treasure of the Brijbasis' love. To imbibe the spirit of the Brijbasis, Yudhisthira Maharaj constructed a palatial residence in the forest of Kamyavan. I wonder if that's still there. So the
64 Kamba.
64 Kamba is in Kamyavan. Okay. So that's where the Pandavas lived. One place they lived at while they were in exile.
In Kamyavan.
In Kamyavan, west of Barshana. While Draupadi learned to cook many of Krishna's favorite dishes, the Pandavas counseled and protected the Brijbasis, whose sorrow decreased in the presence of the five brothers favored by Hari. And so Draupadi learned cooking from the Brijbasis, Yashoda, Radharani. Interesting that these two different types of characters met from the Dwarka Leela and from the Braj Leela. Krishna's repeated visits to Vrindavan awoke the natural curiosity of his queens. So that's now it's talking about Satyabhama visiting Kamyavan also. So any questions or comments on this chapter? Yes.
What is
Why was Lord Balaram so attached to Duryodhana? Because he was his disciple. Remember, Lord Balaram went to visit Mathila. At that time, Balaram came and learned club fighting from him. So therefore, as a guru to disciple, he was very attached to Duryodhana. It was like his son. Duryodhana was like his son. When the guru has a disciple, it's like your own child. And so he had this relationship with Duryodhana. 10 years he stayed with Duryodhana and Mathila and learned club fighting. I think it was 10 years, something like that. Anybody else have a question or comment? Well, they don't go into the technical details. I mean, relationship is relationship. He had a relationship with him. Of course, it was his mission to kill all the demons, but not Duryodhana. Duryodhana wasn't his quota. Duryodhana was the quota of Bhima.
Because maybe Duryodhana was surrendered to Balaram's lotus feet.
Yeah. So therefore, Krishna had to intervene. I mean, this is a question. There's all these relationship rasas going on. That we can't, you know, it goes beyond his mission to kill the demons. This rasa is supreme sometimes.
He was very jealous. He saw so much opulences there. And he wanted to have those.
Right.
So only way he could defeat Pandavas was he invited Pandavas for gambling.
Right.
So Pandavas were very exalted devotees. So at that time, this regulative principle of not gambling, was it not ever?
No, it was for Kshatriyas, it was a regulative principle that you must gamble. Kshatriyas had their own regulative principles. He was not following, they were not following these, no gambling, no, all these things. Another one was that if any woman approaches you, you have to satisfy, you have to marry her for a kshatriya. And drinking was there, meat eating. These things were not for the kshatriyas. But Yudhisthira was, of course. But still, that was his weakness. His weakness was gambling. Yudhisthira's weakness, although he was Dharmaraj, his weakness was that. And then he not only was it his weakness, he wasn't good at it. But then later on, he learned how to gamble nicely. Later, I mean, that's when they were in exile. He made friends with Rituparna, I think it was. Rituparna, somebody, one of those kings. There's two kings, I can't get them confused. Yeah, it was Rituparna. And he was expert in gambling, so Yudhisthira learned from him. He didn't have to use it again, but, you know, just in case. And sacrifice. If in meat and sacrifice. But Bhima we can't vouch for, though. Bhima might have not waited for the sacrifice. Bhima was another case. But the rest of them were it would have been following sacrifice. If there was in sacrifice, sometimes you eat the meat. Like Rajasuya, they kill the horse. I don't know if you eat it or you smell it. But it's part of the sacrifice. He did the Rajasuya, you kill the horse. They're not kshatriyas, they're foot soldiers. Kshatriyas are the kings and the presidents who are the leaders of the armies. The foot soldiers are not, I mean, they're kshatriyas, but they're not the kings. Kings is another thing. But now in Kali Yuga, of course, none of these. Our rules are from Prabhupada. These are the rules that we have to follow. He didn't make separate rules for kshatriyas and anybody. Everybody has to follow the four regulative principles. In Kali Yuga, that's all you have to do. Chant Hare Krishna 16 rounds, follow the four, but even that is too difficult for most people, even devotees. Yeah, he took everything.
All this sutra, mahal, and everything, whatever
he took wrote. Everything. Not Duryodhan, Bhishma, the elders, Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra allowed them to. Yeah, there were two gambling matches. The first one was when they lost Jyopati, but then she got everything back. They got everything back. And the second one, they lost everything and they had to go. Lost all their possessions.
And then they just mentioned about this.
They don't conquer the world. No, it's not. And don't call it Rajasuya.
No, excuse me. Horse sacrifice. I wanted to sell horse sacrifice. And then they're distributing the relatives, to all those who are living nearby, the pieces of that.
Okay. Any comments?
I'm telling you, this comes from this.
Horse sacrifices for conquering the whole world, not for getting a son.
No, they're getting son and then performing.
Who can say? Okay, any other questions or comments? So, yes?
Yeah, I think it seems they were...
The brahmanas. Even the brahmanas had to... They would eat sometimes. They would eat. Yeah, they had to do, and they even ate, I think, the meat. But they were not allowed to drink wine, but they could eat. They were sometimes eating the meat also. Pancha Chikiviri. Yeah, we cannot follow the Vedas. Yeah. Well, ours is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's our... Or Viti. I don't know about Panchachit. Panchachiki is, yeah.
As far as sightseeing.
Sightseeing. No, for everyone. Yeah. So actually, Kalo Shudra Sambhava is the age of Kali, and everyone's born Shudra, so therefore no one can follow the Vedas. Well, actually, if you think about it, now it just came to me where the four regative principles come from. It's first canto. When you were speaking, then it came, you know, okay, first canto. That where does Kali stay? It's the shelter of, these are the shelter of, the four places where Kali stays are the slaughterhouse, the brothel, the gambling casino.
And if we think of what Kali
and liquor
is, so primarily Kali is quarrels.
Quarrel, yes, quarrel.
And these four things are
these four things.
Plausible.
Yeah, yes. Plus, gold is the last, yes, also. Gold which is hoarded and not used for Krishna consciousness. Yeah, so there's the four regulative principles right there. That's really good. Thanks for that.
But what is this? Another four principles that traveling is a
well, that you can ask after class, Dadi Purush. We don't know about that. Yeah? A beginning of knowledge, yeah. Chapter 13, verse 8 to 12. And it starts with Amanitvam Adambitvam. Humility. Beginning of knowledge is humility. So these verses from 8 to 12 are considered the process of knowledge. The process of knowledge. So the first, it begins with Amanitvam, Adambitvam. Pridelessness, humility, pridelessness. It's the beginning. No, Gita, Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita. The beginning of knowledge is humility. And the fruit of knowledge is humility. Yes. Now he was way. Yeah, you get a reaction anyway. He says, but if you do it for Krishna, then it's you don't get the reaction. Varnashram, without Krishna consciousness, you get the reactions for that.
Even if you're following,
look at these brahmanas who helped Sudakshina do that sacrifice. They all got killed. Mm-hmm. And it's a Vedic injunction. That sacrifice is in the Vedas, and they were doing it. And look at the reason they all got killed. Machikunda, King Nriga, he made a mistake. I mean, it wasn't. No, but if you read fourth canto with King Prachinda Barhishat, it said he did so many sacrifices that he would just do one and then it was like Dandavat Parikrama around the earth. His sacrifices were all around the earth like Dandavat Parikrama. He'd do one, move to the next place right next and do one, and then it was like. It was very excessive. And of course, it was excessive, and obviously he was not Krishna conscious about it. So. And so Gita says, every endeavor is covered with smoke, with fault. Every endeavor is covered with fault, just like fire is covered by smoke. Yeah, there's faults in all of the four varnas. There's some fault in the Brahmins, some fault in the Vaishyas. You have to tell a lie. In the Shudras, you might have to do something which is abominable if you have a bad master. In the Kshatriyas, they have to kill, and the Brahmins have to perform these sacrifices also with meat, and I mean killing animals too. So it's all faulty until you become a devotee. There's always some fault, even when they did it properly. There's some fault. That's why if there's a devotee king, then he directs you how to do your duties for Krishna, and then the fault is removed. But otherwise, there's so much reaction and so much reaction. Yeah, Parvati? Not Prabhupada, but the servants of Prabhupada, right?
It says here,
yeah.
Prabhupada
is... Oh, Srila Prabhupada writes. Balaram, yeah. It means he's the original personnel. He's on the level of Vishnu. I mean, he's original. Of course, there's a cause of him, and that's Krishna. He's the origin of Vishnu, actually. Balaram is the original Vishnu, origin of Vishnu. Yeah, so all the Vishnus come from him, Purushavatars. We come from Balaram. Sankarshan. Mahasankarshan. Any other questions or comments? Tomorrow you'll have a nice peaceful pastime. Sudama, Raman, next 2 days. With Brijan Prabhu. Nice peaceful one. Then we'll be back to Kurukshetra on Monday. Not fighting, but meeting with the residents of Braj. Krishna and the residents of Braj meeting together. You look in chapter 78, verse 16. Even 82 it's given to. Yeah, the Rajasuya sacri- first the meeting in Kukshetra, the solar eclipse.
Solar eclipse. Then, then
Rajasuya Yagya.
And then?
Oh, I can't remember.
No, Shalva and
Dantavakra. No, no. Yeah, it's in the book, but she doesn't have a book. Yeah, that's what I told her. Just look in verse 16 in the purport at the end. Here it is. Journey and occasion of solar eclipse, then Rajasuya, then gambling match and attempted disrobing of Vyopati, Pandava's exile, killing of Shalva and Dantavakra, Krishna's visit to Vrindavan, winding up of Vrindavan pastimes. Verse 16 end. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.